Because we've heard them all before. They're very, very familiar and quoted and even taught scriptures. But yet, I've never heard them taught in the context that I'm going to be teaching them today. I've never heard them taught or even spoken about in the context in which they are actually written. So I want you to see these things in James. So this first one I want you to look at is in James chapter 4 and verse 7. It says there, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I've heard that scripture taught so many times, but I've never heard it taught in the context of fights and quarrels in the church. I've heard it taught from the context of having a relationship with Jesus. I've heard it taught from the context of spiritual warfare, but I've never heard it taught from the context of fights and quarrels in the church. But I'll show you shortly that that's the context that it's really in. And another one that we hear a lot is the last part of James chapter 4 and verse 2. So I want to show you this one. This is the last part. You do not have because you do not ask God. The King James Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Now, have you ever heard that taught in the context of fights and quarrels? Isn't it usually like a financial teaching or a faith teaching that you hear that taught in? But I want to show you the whole verse and let you see the entire verse and show you the true meaning of that particular passage and what James is saying there. Look at the whole verse now in James chapter 4 and 2. You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. You tell me, what is his context? What does that verse tell me that we have not because we ask not, what the context of that particular passage is? Fights and quarrels. How fights work. How quarrels work. Now, hopefully I'll be able to put this together for you. I'll be able to show you how resisting the devil and drawing near to God deals with fights and quarrels. Hopefully, we'll be able to see how we have not because we ask not really fits in what God is trying to show us here as far as how fights and quarrels work. So let's begin at chapter 4 and verse 1. Chapter 4 and verse 1. And let's do the first part, the first sentence. What causes fights and quarrels among you? He asked a question. Why do you have what causes these things? From where do these things come? What's the root of fights and quarrels in the church? Now, how many of us have, let me start here, have ever seen and observed a fight or a quarrel in church? If you've been around a couple weeks, how many have seen or observed fights and quarrels in church? Come on, be honest with me. Come on. Okay, good. Now, let's go another step. How many of us have actually not only seen but maybe been involved in, found ourselves on sides in fights and quarrels in church? Yeah. Aren't we ashamed of ourselves? And we look back at those things and we say, wow. Wow. It's a very common thing. It was common in James' day, 2,000 years ago. It's common today. I've been around church since 1978. I have seen many fights and quarrels. Sadly, I have been involved in many. And boy, you talking about the Lord getting on me this week. You talking about the Lord really dealing with my heart this week. You know, because I see what was happening now. I see how this works. And I see what was really taking place and transpiring. We've seen some. We've been involved in some. But I don't guess I've ever, you know, I've heard, that wasn't long after I had come to this city, that I heard of one in a deacon meeting where not only words flew, but fists flew. And that really happens. James talks about one that they had where somebody was murdered. You murder? this stuff gets serious. We'll talk about that when we get to the verse. But this stuff works in the church. And what I want us to see is why it works, how it works. Nothing devastates the church like fighting and quarreling. Nothing. Nothing devastates the church. It cripples the vision. It splits churches. It makes a mockery of the kingdom of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes a mockery of the church to people that aren't in church or that are unchurched or that are lost. They don't want that. They can have, in fact, it's probably more peaceful sometimes out there than in here. Am I right? I've been hurt in church. But more sad, I have hurt people in church. Fights and quarrels are common. And brothers and sisters, that ought not be. This should be a place of love and security, a place where we can come in and hug one another and have a kind word for one another. But we have fights and quarrels. So James isn't talking here just about a little disagreement. What he's talking about are fights. And I want to show you this Greek word that's translated fights here in verse 1, where he says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? I want you to see this. It's the Strong's number 3163. And what it says is this. It means a fight or combat. It means a battle. So what James is talking about was something that was within the church where people took sides. You know, where this group sat on this side and this group sat on that side, where they were really at it. And it's a heartbreak. It's a heartbreak. Now, from where do these things come? James asked the question, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Where do they come from? Why do they happen? So let's read the whole verse now in James chapter 4 and verse 1. And see what he answers. He answers that question. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? James, King James Bible says, don't they come from your own lust? Don't they come from what you want? See, James just goes straight to the root. That's one thing I like about James. Steve was talking about it earlier. The thing when you're reading James, sometimes you don't know if he's being facetious or if he's being if he's very angry or how he's coming across. But what James does, no matter what how he does it or what he's really doing, he goes straight to the root of the thing. He goes right down there and he says, don't they come from something battling within you, from your own lust, from your own desires, from what you want? See, when I become combative, it's always because I want things my way. And if I can't have them my way, I'll just fight. I'll just choose sides. I'll get people on my side. I'll go talk to people that I know think like I think and want what I want, and I'll get them all stirred up. And the next thing you know, we've got a war going on. Somebody that doesn't want what I want, they get their group going. And the next thing you know, there's a war happening right here in church. Right here in a place where we're supposed to come in to love and peace and righteousness and joy, where we're supposed to come in singing and happy and feeling good and getting healed and filled and fixed. And we start stabbing one another, cussing one another, fighting with one another, and talking about one another. Don't they come from your own lust? I want what I want. And when you fight and quarrel, you want what you want. And you want it your way. Now let's look at verse 2 and see if this isn't what he says. Verse 2. You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet. But you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. See, all of this you don't have because you don't ask is in the context of fighting and quarreling in church. We covet. We want things our way. So when we can't get them our way, we fight, we quarrel. Not talking about finding a better way, me disagreeing with your way and you disagreeing with my way, and so we're finding a constructive way, we begin to battle. We begin to choose sides and pick our teams and get our armies together, and we go at it. James used the word murder, or he used the word you kill here. You know, that was a bad fight they had. Now, I've never seen one go that far. I have seen where people would stab and cut each other up with words. I mean, stick each other in the back and, I mean, twist it, you know? And I've seen the spirit of murder that come into the church. I've seen it where people wanted somebody dead. I've seen it when that was really in the church. And James says, we do not have because we do not ask. Now, what's that got to do with it? What he's saying here is, you find yourself in the situation and you don't pray, you don't talk to me about it. And you don't pray because you're too angry to pray. You don't pray because you're fighting mad and you're too mad to pray. So you don't come and talk to me about it. You don't ask me about it. And so we end up fighting rather than praying, because we know what we're doing is wrong. And we do not have the right answer because we do not ask God what is right. And then he goes on in verse 3 and says, when you ask, when you finally do come and pray about it, when you do talk to me about it, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend or you may get what you want. You get your pleasures. It says, finally, when you do come to the place where you'll pray about the thing, where it's gotten so bad that you gotta pray about it, that when you pray one of those, God, just kill them prayers, you know? Just go kill them, Lord. You know I'm right. We always think God's on our side. Listen, in a fight and a quarrel, he's not on anybody's side. He opposes the proud. We're going to read that in just a second. He opposes the proud, but who he draws to himself is the humble. When we can actually say, God, I'm not going to fight. This might not be the best way. This might not be the best thing to do. This might not be the best thing to spend the money on. Or it might not be the best color for the wall, or the best color for the carpet, or the best picture to hang on the curtain. But I ain't going to fight about it. God loves that. Because like they said in the skit, it's going to change. Don't anything stay the same around here very long. And why get all upset about it? And when we do come and we do talk to him and we do finally come to a place of prayer, we pray those, you know, kill them, Lord. James says that fighting and quarrels reveal a very, very severe flaw in our hearts, in our spirits, in our relationship with him. There's a severe flaw when we find ourselves in fights and quarrels. Let me show you. James says that fighting and quarreling is like adultery. Now, I'm going to say this again. Everybody listen to me. James says that fighting and quarreling is like adultery. He calls us adulterous people when we allow that in our church. When we fight and quarrel, he relates us to adulterers. Look at James 4:4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. You adulterous people. Now, this fascinated me. You know, I'm in my study, and I'm enjoying this because it's starting to open up to me. And all of a sudden, this is one of those verses that you'll just hydroplane across. You know, you just, that don't fit. He must be talking about something else. But I see that he's still in the same context below it. You adulterous people, don't you know that when you start fighting, you become like the world? That you're having intimacy with the world? You have given yourselves to the devil. You have allowed yourself to be seduced by the devil. You have committed adultery with the devil. When we allow fights and quarrels to come into the church, we have been unfaithful to the Lord. Now, why is that? Why is it spiritual adultery? James says that when we fight and when we quarrel, we've become friends of the world. We have allowed the devil to come into us. We have committed adultery. We are the bride of Christ. The church is pictured in the scriptures as a woman. And when we allow that stuff to come into us, we have received seeds of serpent. We have had intimacy and relationships with the devil, and we've brought it right here into the church. And we have become adulterous people. And he says, you hate God when you do that. If you are drawing and so angry, you can't even talk to him about stuff, that you're fussing and you're fighting and you got to have things your way, you're not even praying, talking to him about it. And when we do pray and talk about it, all we're wanting is our own way. We have turned our back on God. We have drawn close to the devil. We have resisted God. We have allowed him to have us. We become the enemy of God. That's what he says here. We're going to read it again. Let's look at verse 4 one more time. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So when we fight and quarrel in church, we've done the Rosemary's Babies thing. Did you ever see that movie? Rosemary's Baby? Mia Farrow played Rosemary, and she had a physical relationship, intimate relationship with the devil. It was an antichrist kind of a thing, you know, produced the antichrist that was supposed to come. So that's what the movie's about. And she produced something from her womb for the devil. And what we're supposed to be are children of God. What we're supposed to be doing is producing a kingdom. The kingdom of God is where? It's in your womb. It's in the womb of your spirit. And what we're supposed to be doing is producing it. It's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy. And that's what we should be reproducing, not quarreling and fighting and bitterness. So when we have allowed that to come in here, James is saying you've been adulterous. You've received seed from the serpent. And what's happening now is that you're producing stuff for the world and not stuff for God. You're adulterous people. It fascinated me when I saw that. Whoa. And how many times have I done that? I am a combatant person. My personality, because I want my way. And what I saw about me this week, because when I've gotten that way, I have turned my back on God, I've resisted him, and I've drawn close to the devil, and I've allowed him to have me. James was obviously expecting some resistance for this kind of teaching, calling the people adulterers because they simply fought and had quarrels in church. So he backs it up with scriptures. And so in verse 5 he says, or do you think, scripture says, without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? James says, well, what do you think God really means when he talks about God is a jealous God, and that the spirit that he has put within us envies intensely? that he's jealous of us. He envies intensely. The Spirit of God has intense feelings about us. Jesus has intense feelings about us. It's like a man and a woman in a marriage situation. There are intense feelings when one spouse or the other begins to flirtatious situation with a person. There are intense feelings. They can stir up anger, jealousy. They are intense feelings, and the Spirit has intense feelings. And God says, when you do that, I get so jealous because you're allowing the devil to have his way with you. You're allowing him to touch you, to put stuff in you. And you're bringing it into my church. And in the womb of my church is all of this anger and all of this fighting and all of this quarreling. There's tremendous intense feelings in a marriage situation where one of the mates have had adulterous situations. Every emotion, every feeling, betrayal, anger. And that's how God feels when we let fighting and quarrel come in here. We've been adulterous. Look at verse 6. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, this is the verse that I want us all to get. This isn't a teaching on grace. But you got to understand grace before you'll ever grasp what James is saying here. If you don't know what grace is and you confuse grace with mercy, then you won't get what James is talking about. Grace is God giving us abilities to do what he's called us to do in the kingdom. It's him giving us the ability to do what's right. It's him giving us the ability to do things like forgive. It's him giving us the ability to do things that we couldn't do without him in our lives, to fulfill his purpose and his plan, to do what he's called us to do. The Apostle Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. James says that we're given grace. Now, I want you to look at this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. And you can just make a note of it, but it's on the screen for you. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked. See, what the grace of God does is give you the ability to do something. I worked harder than all of them. I'm in King James trying to read NIV. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. See, the grace of God gives you an ability to do something that you couldn't do. And what James says here is that, but we are given grace. In other words, we are given the ability not to fight and to humble ourselves. We are given the ability to forgive. We are given the ability to know that this is wrong. We are given the ability, the grace, to come before God the way we should, to walk into here the way we should, without bitterness and envy in our hearts, without selfish ambition, without those things going off inside of us, without warring, that thing warring inside of us and stirring us up against one another. We're given grace to be bigger than that. God's given us grace and abilities and anointings to keep that out of here. James says, we've got the ability, but we're not doing it. So we fight and we quarrel. We talk about one another. We choose our sides. Complain. We envy. Make God jealous. We refrain from Him and draw close to the devil. And the madder we get, the more intimate we are with Him, with the devil. We remain proud in our position. And then the Bible says this: if we remain proud in that position, God will oppose us. I want you to think about that, because that's really where I want the arrow to strike today. God will oppose us. See, it's not good to fight and quarrel in church. It's not good to fight and quarrel anywhere, because God begins to oppose us. Now, I really want us to hear this. God opposes the proud. If I become very proud in my stand on this quarrel, on this issue, and I won't humble myself, if I become very proud on it, God begins to oppose me. Now, I ask you a question, and you gotta ask your heart. Do you ever feel like God's opposing you? Do you ever feel like you just can't get God to move on something for you? I wonder sometimes right here. You know, like last week, I was kind of down after the service. And I was, you know, kind of mopey. I felt like I just couldn't get a breakthrough. I've been doing this for all these years, and I just still don't feel like we've accomplished and done what we're called to do. I wonder if I'm doing a good job. You know, I want to reach this region with the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we talked to Judy. I talked to elders. I talked to people about it all the time, trying to figure out better ways of doing this and better ways of doing that. And I go to conferences, and I go to all these different things, trying to learn better ways. And I study hard and I pray hard, but I still feel like sometimes God's opposing it. I just can't get the breakthrough in this region like I want to see. And then when I was reading this week, and for 17 years, there has been one opposition against another opposition against another opposition. And I would dig my heels in, and I would become very proud. And most of it didn't mean beans. And so, God, if I'm a proud person, if I've got to have it my way all the time, and you're opposing me, well, let's fix that right now. What in your life do you feel like sometimes you just can't get a breakthrough? There's an opposition. Your finances? Can't get a breakthrough in your finances? Could it be that you've got fighting and quarreling going on in marriage? You're too proud to say I'm wrong? You're too proud to say this probably don't mean squat anyhow? Let's do it your way. If it doesn't work, then we'll change. Your children? Can't get a breakthrough with your kids? Well, are you fighting and quarreling with people? Healing? You need a healing from God? But yet, you fight and you quarrel with people? Can't get a healing, can't get a breakthrough in your physical body? So the Lord's speaking to us. He's speaking to your hearts. God opposes the proud. But it says he draws to the close to the humble. So fighting in the church has got to stop. It was in 1966. I'm going through a situation. God said, shut your mouth. Don't talk about it. Go on. That was beautiful. It went well until I got proud. And when
I got prayer out, all hell broke loose. Folks, the more I learn about God, the realer I realize He is. His word is true. Amen. We can argue with it. We don't like it. We want to do it our way. But I promise you, He's trying to say to us something today. If we feel like we can't get a breakthrough in some areas of our lives, we need to look at our fighting and quarreling and how we feel about people, things we've said, things we've done. God opposes the proud. What about you? Your business, your home, your finances, children, your health. Fight and quarrel? Man. So, what's the solution? Huh? So that's how anger works. That's how quarreling and fighting works. That's how it works. It brings you to this place where God opposes us. So, what's the solution? James tells us now how to fix the thing. Let's fix it, okay? Is it all right? Can we fix it? Ready to fix it? Verses 7 through 10. Let's read those. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. So what's the solution? I want to give you 6 points. 6 points here. First of all, you know, we got to realize something's going crazy in our lives. So the first thing that he says in these 6 points is, first of all, submit to God. Submit then to God. When you find out that these things are goofy and going crazy, submit then to God. What we do is we say, okay, Lord, you know, in the church or in life, period. Okay, Lord, you're bigger than this problem. This probably doesn't mean that much anyhow. I know it's big in me, but it's not that big in the kingdom. You handle the situation. Whatever you do is cool with me, because it's just not worth fighting and quarreling. It's not worth hurting people about. It's not worth getting my blood pressure up about. It's not worth me losing sleep about, getting sick about, and it's sure not worth you opposing me about. Submit to God. Secondly, resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, what we've got to do is, when we find that stuff stirring up in us and happening to us, we've got to turn our back. We can't let him keep flirting with us. We can't let him keep groping on us and feeling us up and touching us. We can't let that stuff get in us. And we find it happening, we've got to resist him. We've got to turn our backs on him and begin to draw near to God. Resist him and he'll flee. Tell the Lord he's making a hit on you. Tell the Lord he's trying to get on you. Tell the Lord he's fooling with you. You're his bride. You're his wife. And that devil will flee. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So I tell the devil, listen, I'm in love with the Lord. The Lord is my lover. I want to tell him, you're hitting on me. And he'll flee. I don't want your stuff. I don't want you messing with me. I don't want you touching me. I don't want to be impregnated with you. I'm not going to bring that into the church. I resist you. And then it says, 3, come near to God. And he will respond, because he'll come near to you. You resist the devil, turn your back on him, and you start loving up on the Lord. Now, the Lord loves it when we resist the devil. You know that, don't you? I mean, it turns him on. He likes that. And when he sees us doing that, he starts drawing close to us.
And he says, can I hold you? Can I love on you? Can I bless you? You're my bride. Let's birth some more kingdom. So James is telling us something here, people, that is so special if we just have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying. It is a love affair either with the world and the devil that we bring into the church, and we argue and we fuss and we fight and quarrel, or it's a love affair with Jesus. We resist that stuff. We humble ourselves to Him, and we let Him take care of it. We let Him deal with it. Resist His flirtatious, resist the devil's flirtatious ways, and draw near to God. Number four, wash your hands, you sinners. Did you touch the devil? Did you get involved in it? Purify your hearts. We need to wash ourselves, cleanse our hearts, repent of that thing. Jesus, I'm sorry. Boy, I did that this week, man. Lord, I'm so sorry. I want to purify my heart. I want to clean myself up for you. I want to be a spotless bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I want to anoint myself with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want you to hold me. I want you to love me. I want your Spirit in me. Grieve, mourn. Number five, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning. Be so sad about this. Realize what's happened. Just as an adulterer would be sad because he's broken the heart of his spouse or her spouse. Grieve, mourn. Don't be happy about it. Be happy about fights and quarrels. Man, this should break our hearts. Even if we're winning, God still is opposing us. Humble yourselves, number six, before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Jesus, I'm so sorry. I don't care anymore. It's just not worth it. It's not worth hurting people. I know you'll take care of it. I'm just going to love you. Your way is better than my way, and I'm going to trust you with doing it. Humble yourselves. There's reconciliation. There is. It can be fixed. I love to see reconciliation. Even if He's violated us. Even if we've been in a knockdown, drag out, one of those punching, fighting kinds. Really committed adultery in the realm of the spirit with the devil. There's reconciliation with the Lord. Aren't you glad? Just resist Him. Draw near to God. Devil will flee. Humble ourselves. Clean ourselves up. Come before Him. Lord, I'm so sorry. That's what I want to do right now. See, not one of us is not guilty here. Now, it may not have happened in church. Maybe you've never had a fight and a quarrel in church. But you've had it somewhere along the way with the friends, or, you know, you were, even you young people, you know, with your especially girls are atrocious here. You know, they're always fighting and quarreling and hurting their friends. So you know what's happening now. God doesn't like that. None of us are ignorant here. This is something every one of us can relate to, and especially in church. We have allowed it to be an adulterous relationship. And the Bible says, I want you to humble yourselves. It's got to stop. We've got to end it. And it only takes a minute. It only takes a minute to humble ourselves and come before the Lord. What I want to do is I want to draw near to Him right now. Here's what I feel to do. I was praying about it this week. I believe that some of us are very convicted. We feel violated by the devil. I did. That's how I felt. I felt like I had allowed him to have me. And I'm smarter than that. So what I want to do for the next few minutes, it only takes a few, is I want to open the altars up. I want to invite you to come down, if you so feel, and just humble yourselves before the Lord. Lord, forgive me. Purify my heart. I'm humbling myself before you. I don't want you opposing me anymore. I want a breakthrough in my life. Come. I beg you. Allow the Lord to purify our hearts. Tell Him you're sorry. Tell Him you didn't know what you were doing. You didn't understand. But now you do. And I want you to pray for LifeGate. Because if we're going to beat this thing, it's going to take every single one of us. We've got to recognize it when the devil is hitting on us and stirring us up. We've got to be able to recognize it and say, I ain't having none of you. I'm resisting you. Now, others may not feel that conviction, but I want you to sit right where you're at then. If you don't want to come and kneel at the altars and pray, and again, when's the last time you came to the altar? I think that's important today. Come, pray. We'll take as long as it takes or as short a time as it takes. But you make sure that you understand the reality of what's happening here and what's being spoken today by the Spirit. Pray for LifeGate. Because if we're going to reach this region and we're going to get the breakthrough that we so desperately want here, it's going to take every one of us. And we cannot allow fighting and quarreling in here. Cannot allow it. We're not going to allow it. We're all too smart now. We understand what it means. We understand what it is. And we've got to deal with it. So anytime that we're having it, you know, we got to look at it. And that's how fights and quarrels work. That's how life works. So I invite you to come now and pray. And let's take a few minutes and humble ourselves. Afterwards, we're going to have ministry for praying for sick and whatever that you may need. But we will have a time where everybody can come down for different needs. But right now, it's for this specific thing. You can sit where you're at and do it, or you can come down to the altars and do it. I'm going to get right down here. And I invite you to also.